Welcome to the Creative Shift Podcast. My name is Dan Blank, author of the book Be the Gateway and founder of WeGrowMedia.com. Before I jump into the heart of today's podcast, I want to invite you into a free training I'm doing next week, the week of January 20th. I run this little Facebook group called the Reader Connection Project. So all week I'm doing free training on social media for writers, how to really think about getting started, how to leverage it if you're already super engaged in social media already. So basically every day of the week, I'll be doing a new video sharing my advice, some tips. There's about 1,000 other writers in the groups. You'll be hearing from them. You can kind of engage with them on the topic if you like. The end of the week, I will be doing some Q&A videos. So please bring your questions. I am more than happy to help. To join, just go to Facebook, do a search on Reader Connection Project. It's a group, so you'll just have to ask to be, you'll kind of click on it, you'll ask to be, to join the group, I will let you in, and that's it. Then you just have to kind of, you know, generally show up next week and watch the videos and ask questions, and I'm happy to help. All right, on to today's podcast. Today, I want to talk about social media for writers. And why social media doesn't sell books, but how it does so much more for an author. Why in 2020, I still encourage and work with a lot of writers on understanding social media, developing that literacy for themselves, and using it in ways that I think are both hopefully authentic to who they are and their creative vision, but also really powerful in terms of marketing, branding, and really their whole career. So social media is this classic place that, you know, when a writer or a creator looks to marketing, they kind of try to judge effectiveness really quickly. They do so for reasons that I have empathy with. You know, one, it takes a lot of time. It takes resources, whether it's time, energy, and money. It feels scary. It's something new. The word in social media that really freaks people out is that first word, social. you know, I wrote this in Be the Gateway, but I tend to look at a lot of adults, really how we were when we were younger. We are uncomfortable in new social situations. I think that's why when you look at a lot of adults, they tend to have lives that are very confined, smaller, established social circles. They communicate with the same friends, the same family, the same people or places in their community at work. Yeah, they might work in a company with 20,000 people and have 400 people in their division. But day to day, they really communicate with a very, very, very finite number of the same people. And all with all of that, these communications are kind of already a little pat. There's already a bit of a expectedness of how they communicate with each person and vice versa. So when you say, hey, you should join social media, it's akin to saying like, you know, gee, you should go to a high school dance or you should go to a wedding where you don't know anyone. You know, the type of thing where it's like you're supposed to socialize as one would at a dance or at a any kind of social setting where they know nobody. And it's like, I'd rather not, is how I think any rational person would approach that. So when you think of this, this is why I think a lot of people look at social media or look at marketing for writers, any kind of marketing strategy, and they say, what's the ROI? What's the return on investment? When they say, look, you know, I tried that. I got on Facebook, right on my book launch, and yeah, you know, I put a lot into it. You know what came up? Zilch, zero, nada, not one book sale. So I'm not going to waste my time. They dismiss it very, very, very quickly. And the problem with that is that I think that they're really turning a blind eye to this entire aspect of their writing career. And I want to kind of take you through those today. So the first is that we can't look at social media as a transaction. And I think a lot of people do tend to look at it this way. sometimes it's not really for bad reasons. They are an introvert. They are apprehensive. They don't know how to use it. They don't want to look like a fool. So they really, in their mind, and maybe on paper, they limit how they think about what social media can do for them. They say, oh, I'm not going to share my personal stuff. That wouldn't be appropriate. And I don't know who these people are. I'm just going to share about my book launch and the book readings. And my marketing person gave me some images with the books. I'm going to share those. You know, they keep it really regimented. And they treat it like a transaction. They will then look at those tweets or those Instagram posts or those Facebook updates and say, well, what came back from it? Did anyone like it? Did they share it? Did they comment on it? Did it lead to my newsletter list? Or did they buy a book? Did they recommend a book? If I encourage people to leave a book review, did my book reviews, you know, jolt up? If I say, hey, there's a special book bundle deal for the holidays, did people sign that? You know, did people buy it? They judge the return on investment so quickly, so starkly, and they essentially treat social media as a transaction. There's a lot of other ways that we do this. It's where the word, quote unquote, influencers come from. It's a very popular word, and people still use it. Even if they're not using that word, they use words that are similar to it or an intention that's similar. And I think that's part of the draw of social media to a lot of people. When you say, how are you going to put your book out there? They say, I don't know. Day job and I have a family and I wrote this book and then I don't know. How will I get the book out there? So suddenly social media becomes attractive because they're like, well, I've heard of people who put something on the internet and it went viral and influencers found it. All this magic happened. So I guess I'll do that. And, you know, it's like buying a lottery ticket. It's like someone saying, hey, how are you going to pay your mortgage next year? And tell me about retirement savings. And, you know, how do you budget your money? And they say, well, I'm going to go down to the store and buy a lottery ticket. And that's like their whole answer. So I don't begrudge anyone feeling that way because it is a scary thing. It's an uncertain thing to think about how will you market your book and how will you do that? But when you think of it just as a transaction, when you put such boundaries on it, one, you're approaching it in a way that isn't super positive, and two, you're putting really outsized expectations on it. So I love taking online metaphors or online things and giving them offline metaphors. So the example here is, you know, a lot of us say, oh, I want to be authentic, you know, I want to be me, that sort of thing. But when we look at the idea of social media as a transaction, it's like showing up to a party, you know, walking right up to the food table or right up to the bar, shoveling all of the food into your bag or a box that you brought and walking out. You know, it's like you walked into the party not to, you know, bring a gift, not to socialize, not to help someone else make a connection, not to be there for the host. You showed up thinking, what can I get out of it? Oh, there's free food over there. You take the free food and you leave and you say, well, the ROI was, look at all this great food I got. That party was awesome. And when we view social media in the same way, that's what we're doing. We're not showing up as ourselves. We're not showing up for other people or with other people. We're showing up and we're measuring the ROI of a transaction. And that tends to not really work too well, especially at the beginning. And the other problem with it is that it just doesn't feel good. And what it means is that you're viewing it in this way where the whole measure of success is skewed already. How are you going to feel good about socializing and making friends if the value is how many pounds of food you stole from the party? And it's the same way here if we only measure it by likes and retweets or influencers or book sales or newsletter subscribers. And the flip side of that is, what the heck is social media then? Because it's a mature enough platform. And by mature, I mean it's been out there a very long time. So it's like the telephone. It's like email. It's like going to a conference. There's not the Wild West of how we use the phone. It's not the Wild West of how we use social media. It's not that there aren't or couldn't be innovations or interesting new examples, But these are mature platforms in terms of marketing and communication and connection. And what this is for a writer, it's an opportunity to connect with real people. And you either see the social media part as an opportunity, or you see it as a terrifying thing that leads to social uncertainty and leads you to want to feel smart, so you want to start actually doing the transactional side of it. And the first thing I'd say is, if you're going to show up on social media, show up as a whole person, as a full person. It does not mean that you can't and shouldn't have boundaries. You absolutely should have boundaries of what you share and how you share it. I encourage that of everyone. Be clear about what your personal boundaries are. But don't just put artificial boundaries that feel professional and easy. I'm only going to share about my book. Nothing about me. No, I'm not doing that. You know, scoffing at it. And again, it's like we've all been to these, whether it's a party or whether it's a conference or a meetup, and it's that person. They walk up, "Hey, I'm Dan Blake. I do social media for authors. Here's my card. What do you do for a living?" Where it's a pitch. Yeah, they're showing up, but they put a really clear boundary. They're not going to, they'll ask about the other person insofar as it's a lead for their sales. They'll introduce themselves and they'll try to be affable and charismatic, but insofar as it gets people comfortable enough so they can pitch them. And, you know, don't bother. Just don't put yourself through that. Don't put other people through that. It's just not comfortable. It's not fulfilling. It's not leading anywhere. So we can just take that off the table. So let's do that. So the next big thing about social media and why I think it's not good transactionally but good otherwise is sort of the big secret that we don't like to talk about because it's uncomfortable, which is that relationships build writing careers. Now, I'll put a huge asterisk up front with that, and I try to say this very often. Of course, your writing craft, the book, the story, how well you tell a story, how well you write a book, how much you help people, how much it engages. That, of course, is the first big thing. The book, the writing, the craft. But we have all experienced this or heard of people experiencing it, which is great books, great writing goes unread. It doesn't get an agent, doesn't get a book deal, or it does. It's put out in the marketplace, and very, 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 very few people buy it. And we're all left scratching our heads. And then we see the opposite example. The celebrity who has a book that's ghostwritten and it goes bonkers successful. Just so much press, so much sales, so much reviews. And we're like, huh, what do I make of this? You know, I've had this company for 10 years, and my whole life I've been the art guy. I've been the guy who wrote poetry and did illustration and photography and music and writing and all these things. So my whole life I've been essentially an artist, and I've had nothing but friends who are performers and artists of all types. And this is what you tend to see with people who are successful, is that they have professional relationships, and that these networks, these colleagues, these friendships tend to help lead to a more fruitful writing career. If you listen to this podcast, you've heard that a million times. There are parts in an interview where I slow someone down and I'm saying, wait, tell me exactly, what was the first email like when you cold emailed someone you hadn't talked to in 5 years? That sort of a thing. Just in last week's podcast with Aura Lewis, I talked about that, where she said she got her agent because she emailed a colleague that she used to work with years ago, someone she clearly didn't have a close relationship with then. She thought she was always nice, is what she said. clearly didn't stay in touch with her because she didn't even know that she was no longer an editor but moved on to agenting. But she had the awesome instinct and the bravery and all that good stuff to email that person saying, look, we used to know each other, used to work together. You know, I thought you might be interested. I've got this project. I just want to send it your way and just see if there was anything there. I mean, I love that so much. And the person she reached out to said, now I'm an agent. I love this idea. Yada, yada, yada. She became Aura's agent. So that's just one of a billion examples of how you do that. So then if we think about, well, what if we think of social media in this context? Well, social media is where you can meet people if you're stuck behind a desk or online at the food store or just amidst your otherwise busy life. I mean, people's lives are so busy, so stressful, just with the daily things they have to do to care for themselves and for their family and their friends and their significant others and maybe their job and their home and all of that stuff. Social media is amazing because you don't have to live in Manhattan and know where all the cool parties are and know where to eat breakfast and know how to go to all the conferences. That's how it was years ago. You can be anywhere and you have the ability to identify where people are and who's there and what they talk about and follow them and connect with them and message them. It is just incredible. And it's incredible when you view it in that way of truly connecting with real people who are like-minded, that you like for the right reasons. And again, you don't want a transaction. You want a fulfilling sense of professional colleagues. Well, then, gosh, it's full of a lot of opportunity. Maybe too much opportunity, which is why people get overwhelmed with social media, but that's not the topic of this, of this particular discussion. A couple weeks back, I wrote a post called Growing a Readership Without an Online Platform. And I talked about, do you need a platform? Do you need social media? And I was like, well, no, it's not a requirement. It's an option. And I laid out, what could you do if you don't use social media? Specific tasks. And I was being absolutely serious with that. Here's, you can do this or that. But I was also being really clear of not trying to paint a darker picture of it, but being really honest of like, it is so much more time and energy and money and freedom of travel access to do it without the online means, to drive and go to all the bookstores, to build relationships with librarians one at a time in person, to go to writing groups all over, to go to conferences, to write letters or just do email. It is so much more work. There's so much about it. And I didn't do that to discourage that because I think that that is wonderfully effective. But when we dismiss social media, what I often think about is great, totally dismiss it. I have no problem with you saying, I don't like Facebook. I don't like Twitter. I don't like Instagram. I don't like LinkedIn. I don't like YouTube. I don't like Goodreads, whatever. Then how are we going to replace the things that those platforms can do? How will you connect like-minded writers and maybe librarians and booksellers and readers? How will you do it? Because then it's a good conversation. Otherwise, it's just being jaded and saying, no, 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 no. And after a while, it leaves you with no yeses of anything about the people side of your career as a writer. So this is a part of it, the idea of you having a thriving network of people around your professional life as a writer. And for some of you might be saying, Dan, writing is like a hobby. I do this and I'm serious, but like I don't have a career as a writer. But I always think of this, how you define it, that's fine. Wouldn't your life be more fulfilling and interesting if you connected with other authors who kind of write things that you do? Love reading the things that you do? Ask the same question. Like, wouldn't that be more interesting? And we can go back to, you know, the metaphor of having a literary salon that you go to, or this awesome cafe that you go to where other people who write and read and just are fueled by the things you are. Is it the same thing on Twitter? No, it's different, but it's similar. You can kind of make it that. I think that's, again, an opportunity that you don't want to just dismiss outright because it's new or unfamiliar or you are nervous about it. Also in the career of a writer, whether you call it a career or not, we talk about the book launch. And I think a lot of the talk around social media tends to happen around book launch. People say, oh, yeah. Once I'm done writing the book, once I get the agent and the publisher and we're ready, you know, we're preparing, then I'll get on social media. And it's sort of like, again, I love the real world metaphors. It's like you got in the plane, got to altitude, got the training, you get your vest and parachute on, you jump out of the plane, you're pummeling towards Earth, going closer and closer to Earth, and you got the hand on the ripcord. You're waiting until the last second to pull it before you pull the ripcord and launch your parachute. And I find that people delay social media or really marketing and audience engagement and networking. They do that as well with their around book launches. And this is something I work with people on a lot. You know, I've written about this a lot in the last 10 years, but I tend to work with writers a year or more ahead of a book coming out. Some writers, it's years and years before. Because if you want to develop a network that's there for you at your book launch, you want to develop that network before you need them. Otherwise, we go back to what I was saying earlier, it's transactional. It's also, I think, more authentic and interesting to develop this network when in the back of your mind, you know you're not kind of feeling guilty that there's a transaction and you're measuring ROI right away. I think you also get to experiment more. You get to really show up as a human being a bit more because, again, you don't have this book in your back pocket that you know you're ready to kind of sell to people. So that's the reason why I still think social media is important in 2020. It's not this magical one-step marketing funnel. It is something so much more than that. If you're interested in this topic, next week, the week of January 20th to 24th, I'm doing just a free training program in the Facebook group I run called the Reader Connection Project. So if you join that group, just go to Facebook and search for Reader Connection Project. It's a group. You will then have to ask to be a part of the group. I will let you in. It's free. There's close to 1,000 other writers in there. And what I'll be doing each day is sharing a video where I talk about a key component of how I think writers can really think about joining and leveraging social media. So I'll do a video a day. I'll end the week with a Q&A. So I'm more than happy to be addressing your questions. So come with questions. I'm more than happy to do that. What you'll find is that a lot of other writers are there. They have the same questions and challenges and issues that you have. So you get to meet them and kind of talk with them as well. I think that's a really valuable thing. So I want to invite you into that. Otherwise, you can find me in the usual places, wegrowmedia.com or on social media at Dan Blank. All right. Thank you so much for listening until